All right, now this is critical, and you've had such a good Berean spirit. I'm going to go ahead and tell you something that you're really not going to like, and later on in the second session, maybe it'll help you understand why it's significant. When did the original abomination that causes desolation occur? You know, a lot of people ask me, they say, Brent, how come those crazy Jews cannot figure out that Jesus is the Messiah? Well, one of the single biggest problems is that we have dressed him up in Gentile garb, and they simply do not see him for the Jewish Messiah that he is. Compounding that problem is that our celebration and some of the traditions that we have incorporated into our worship of Jesus have very pagan origins. And one of those origins is the day that we choose to celebrate the birth of the Messiah. You see, the day that Antiochus Epiphanes goes onto the Temple Mount and commits the abomination that causes desolation is December 25th. It is the winter solstice. It is already a pre-existing pagan holiday. Now, please, I'm not trying to make you mad, but please understand the ramifications of this throughout the centuries. We have taken a day that is actually the pre-fulfillment day of the Antichrist and tried to use it to represent the true Christ, and it just hasn't worked in the Jewish community. Now, I know that's a bombshell. Believe me, it was a bombshell to me, and it took me weeks and months to deal with it, and I respect you're going to have to chew on that too. Understand what that means. It simply means that Satan has been working behind the scenes trying to pervert the picture. It's going to happen again. We are going to deal with this period of time that we call the Great Tribulation. Now, let me make a couple points about this period of time. Just mark these in your mind. First of all, when the altar goes operational, I'm going to say something to you right now that I honestly believe, if you don't listen to me, someday the fact that I testified to you this truth will be held against you if you don't listen. Do not speak against the altar. Do not speak against the altar. Well, we're Christians and Jesus is the atoning sacrifice and we don't need an altar. How many altars have we seen in the book of Revelation? Over and over, and the altar is pivotal to the plan of God. Now, if the Jews begin a new temple and build an altar, do you think I'm going to go try and offer a sacrifice to atone for my sins? Absolutely not. The atoning sacrifice of Yeshua is the only sacrifice that covers my sin. But there are multiple reasons that the Bible gives for the use of the altar. The only thing you need and I need to understand is this. It is at that place, the holy place where God establishes his altar, that God says, this is where I call this place holy. It's mine. Don't mess with it. Why is this important? We talked last night about the apostasy or the rebellion of the world and the church. I am scared to death that many well-intentioned Christians are going to rise up and join their voices theologically in speaking against that altar. Now, if you can't think of any good theological reason to keep your mouth shut at that time, let me offer one real practical one. Who is going to put the altar out? The father of lies, the dragon, the one who comes up from the abyss. If you speak against the altar of God, you will be joining your voice with the voice of the Antichrist and the rest of the world who want to subjugate and stop this whole thing that is going on about the one true God, the God of Israel. You have been warned, and I say that with the utmost respect for you. You have been warned, all right? Secondly, do not take the mark of the beast. Let's turn to Revelation 13, and let's start getting back into the text. Revelation chapter 13, we are introduced to the two beasts. The first one we identified as the false Messiah or the Antichrist. The second one, we didn't have a lot of time to talk about him. We identified him as the false prophet. Since I went out on a limb last night, and suggested to you my opinion as to the possibility of who that person might be in the form of Prince Charles, I might as well just go the next step and just climb all the way out there on that limb and tell you who I think the false prophet may be. It is my particular concern, I'll state it that way, that this is a Catholic Pope. It's very interesting that even within the Catholic Church, prophets within their own system, by their definition of prophet, I'm not talking about a true biblical prophet, but by their definition of a prophet, have prophesied for centuries that the last pope would be fully possessed by the devil. If you are familiar with the Fatima revelations that came forth back in the 1950s, this is one of the secret revelations supposedly given to those girls by Mary. Am I endorsing that as a biblical event? Absolutely not. But the darkness knows a little. And so it seems to be in agreement with what's going to be going on. Now, why would I say that that's the possibility that it will be the Pope? Because the beast system, this Antichrist system, has two main facets. It has a political economic stream, and it also has a religious stream. The Antichrist not only consolidates political and economic power, he consolidates religious ideologies, because he knows, and what conqueror hasn't run smack into this, you can subjugate a people physically and politically, but you cannot capture their ideology. The false Christ will try to thwart that problem by bringing all the ideologies into one. And really, that's the same thing the Greeks did with the Hellenization of the world. The Romans did the same thing by transporting people and deporting people and trying to integrate them and assimilate them into the Roman system or into the Greek way of thinking. So this is nothing new. We've seen this before.